Can I just say this, though, really quick to all of you guys, and I'll try to lock eyes. If you see me locking eyes with you, yes, I am locking eyes with you, and I'm doing it intentionally because I want you to know that I'm looking at you in the eye. And many of you haven't had someone look you in the eye in a long time and say, I'm so very, very proud of you. I'm so thankful, church, that today, on this beautiful summer day, you decided to press your way through this desire that woke you up this morning. Or maybe some of you didn't actually have that desire to want to get to church, but there was something in you that said, I need to get to church. There was a desire. And I want to let you know that not everything you do in your life is wrong, a mistake, an issue, a problem to God. He wants to look at you and say, son, daughter, I love you. As you were made in my image, there's something that is so beautiful about who you are and who I've called you to be. And I want you to relax right now in this moment. I want to turn these, whatever shape this church is into, I was going to say four walls, but it's like an octadecagon. I don't know what it is. But I want you to think, allow these walls to turn into the arms, the love, the bosom of Christ. And this is the place today, right now in this moment, where all of the things, all the mistakes that you've done in your life, every single one, all of the wrong things you've done, every fork in the road that you picked the wrong way, that you can just today, for this moment, relax. Because there's a love of God and there's a presence here today that has no need for striving, no need for putting it all together, but letting God's perfect love just completely, completely overwhelm you. For some of you, this is going to be the slowest moment that you probably will have all week. This is the moment that you just get to embrace and God says, I love you. I'm here for you. Your brothers and sisters are beside you. No shame. Only his love. There's a way that seems right to a man. And oftentimes in the church, that way that seems right is to persecute you before you can even get into these doors. And so the moment that you walk in, you think that there's this God who is ready to rain down a hammer on your life. And so you walk in here with your walls up because no one has criticized you the way that you have criticized yourself. You haven't had a positive thought about yourself for weeks. And maybe one time when you did, you felt selfish about it. But I want to change the narrative in our hearts, in our minds right now, that there is something to love about you. That you in your heart, in your mind, can align with God as he's looking at you in that love and say, there is truly something to love about me. As we talk about unmasking, the scripture says we all with unveiled faces, which means that we don't have to cover up anything, no fading glory. can come into the presence of God and bring to him our whole life and allow him to love and assess. We come to this church unapologetically for his presence. Nothing in this world can beat the presence of God. No vacation, no family member, no spouse, no thing can overcome the presence of God. And because of that, you with unveiled faces, unmasking yourselves with no facade, can come in because his presence can take care of everything that's going on in your life. This is what the psalmist David knew when he wrote Psalm 19. Starting at verse 7, this is what David says. And this is a psalm of revelation. Some of you guys may have a Bible where it gives you certain titles. This is a psalm. And even imagine it being a song that someone would sing over their life. A revelation is like, oh, I've come to this conclusion in my life. It's just like, I had this aha moment. The light bulb has gone off. It all is starting to make sense to me. This is a revelation. This is a song that David was singing. And he says this in verse 7, that the law of the Lord is perfect. We are all in the kingdom right now. And just like we're in the United States and it has laws right now, there is a law of the Lord that is perfect. There is a standard of a Lord that he calls out of us. It's in you. Because if for those who have accepted Jesus have the kingdom of heaven, there is a law that is inside of you. There is a beauty. There is a paradise inside of you today. And God is saying that there is a law of the Lord that is perfect. That means that there is a perfect spirit for those who have accepted Christ and have accepted his Holy Spirit. There is something in you today that is perfect and that has perfect order. And this perfect spirit that is in you, it revives the soul. It says reviving the soul. That is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What does that mean? That the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of the Lord, what Jesus has to say about anything in your life, he says his word is sure, even more sure than your own. So when you have been speaking negative thoughts to yourself throughout the week of not being adequate and not adding up in your life, it says that that word is not sure and that word is not perfect, but the testimony, who've ever been in the court, when someone gives a testimony about the person who's on the stand, where they're giving testimony about this person and who they are, it says that Jesus's testimony is perfect and sure about what he says about you. Good, bad, or ugly. It's sure, but here's the beauty. He says the precepts of the Lord are right. This means the things that God has set in order and have said, his precepts, his statements that he's called us to live by. It says that his precepts for the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, which means that we have something in us that can make our heart leap, that I don't have to go searching the world over and over and over for all the information that it may want to give to me. I don't have to search the world over again, but there's something in me because I've accepted Jesus that every precept is right and it makes my heart rejoice that it is with me because he is with me and he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. This means when God tells you something, it doesn't have ill motive. Much of us have encountered people in our life where their motives weren't for us. But his motives and his commandments are pure. It says, and it's enlightening the eyes, bringing refreshment, a whole new way in which we can see and perceive life. It says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That means reverence of God. When we come into his glory, there's nothing in there that feels icky. There's nothing in there. We've all been in a place where it feels as though someone's trying to get over. It says when you come into his presence, whether you got good, bad, or ugly in your life, it says that you've now entered into a room that is clean. Isaiah said the first time when he met God, he says, "Whoa, I am a man of unclean lips." The first thing Isaiah did when he saw God is he recognized how dirty he was because the clean place that God allowed him to come into. It says that then an angel came and placed a coal over his mouth and refined him. The rules, some versions say the judgments of the Lord are true. As we are unmasking and allowing God to access us, there are his judgments in our life that are true and righteous altogether. That means when we come into this space with God who loves us, it's not like your math test that you didn't study for and you just know that you're about to fail the test. And when we hear judgment and we hear about God testing, there's this little bit of a feeling that we feel is, I don't know that I'm prepared for this test. And I feel as though when he sees me, he's going to speak to me the same way I've been speaking to myself. And that's not what he's doing. It is his love and kindness that draws us there. And it's his truth, his revelation, that in that space we realize that this is just simply pure and righteous all together. And this is what David says, that in this space, regardless of what you have going on, in your life, he says, this space of where I can come into this church, where I can come with a body of believers, where I can come and be in the presence of God and allow him and his rules and his judgments to judge me, to make assessments on my life, to show me what's clean and what's good about me, but also to show me the things that he's bringing out of me and refining me with. You guys following me, church? He says that this is more desired than gold. Even much fine gold. So he's just saying, yeah, gold is good. You know, when you go into the mountainside or you go into the ground and you get the gold and it's not even purified. He says that this area of my life where I'm allowing myself to come into the presence of God and I'm allowing his judgments to assess me. He says it's better than that gold that you will find that you know is worth so much even in this day, right? But then he doesn't stop there. He says even refined gold, gold that's gone through a process, gold that's been refined, gold that has been purified. Think about what the psalmist is saying. He says something that is of such precious value. If I had a stack of money up here and it was worth millions and millions of dollars, he says, I could give you this or I could give you the presence of God. He said the presence of God is so much more than that. That's the space. As I speak to you, I can't come to you and say in full confidence that I say that that is better than his presence through how I live my day-to-day life. But my desire, as he shines light on my life. Over these past couple months, I said I was gonna move forward, but I just feel like I need to make this moment reverent for you. As if this moment has been reverent for me. Over the past couple months, I have been allowing God to assess my life to the full. I'm not spiritually bypassing nothing. Well, I'm a child of God and I'm been made righteous. Yes, that's true. But there's still some things that he needs to form in my life. And just because I have a spirit in me doesn't mean that I always operate out of what the spirit is saying. And the more that he's brought me into his light, the more doubts I realized that I had. And those doubts sometimes make gold seem more precious than his presence. And I didn't know that until I started to allow him to assess, to shine light on the things that he already knows. But it wasn't until I came in with the good, the bad, or ugly and allowed him to assess that I actually started to realize, you really love me with these kind of doubts that I didn't even know I had. as a pastor of a loving, beautiful, growing church, and you love me like this, that makes his presence to me more precious than fine gold. Because it's in that moment when I see that he loves me in spite of the things that I didn't even know, in spite of the unbeliefs that I didn't even know that were there. I was just operating out of them. And there's some more scripture I got for you for that. That I believe it's not just me. It's precious, his presence. Can you imagine a church that really thought of his presence that precious? I see you getting up to go to church. Like, why? When you go hang out with your friends. Man, I just love sleeping on Sunday mornings, but there's something about his presence is here with me, but there's something so sweet about gathering together in his presence with the people of God. This is sweeter also than honey, drippings of the honeycomb. See, in the land of refined sugars and Skittles and Starburst and candy that you can get at the store, these scriptures would just go right past you. But you don't understand that the honey was actually what brought the sweetness out of life, Luke. Jimmy, Paige. It's what's, could you imagine a cake that didn't have sugar in it? Could you imagine life without the sweeteners and the sweetness of it? And so he's trying to tell you what God's presence does is that there's a sweetness. Remember what Paige said? Paige said earlier, right before we even started, he said there is a sweetness in his presence that enhances, it elevates the things that are in your life. Just as honey can enhance the flavor of flour being kneaded together, so does his presence enhance your life. With the good, with the bad, and with the ugly. Some of you, surely, not with what I've done in my life and what I've experienced. But that's different than what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying with the good, the bad, and the ugly, that there's still something beautiful in this place. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. These judgments. So he's saying that when God comes into this place where he's wanting to enhance your life, and you see these things in your life that's not of him, or that aren't good, or that you realize are not a part of the new nature of when you come into Christ, he says that God is actually wanting to bring you into that space so he can give you judgment and say, hey, that's not who you are. You're not this person that came from this family that is corrupt and crooked. You're not the person that always has to lust over women and be addicted to alcohol or be addicted to drugs or watching pornography. I know that there's times in your actions that you're doing that, but that's not who you are and that's not how I identify you. And I'm placing a judgment over your life to say, like, hey, when you did this, I'm putting a judgment on it. And my judgment is that is not of you. And so I need you to keep in standing with who I've called you to be, which is delivered. Right now in this moment. I know you may have done it a few moments ago, but what you are, because you're in my presence, of what you brought into is a refuge and a deliverance and a refinement. And when you keep these judgments, he's saying these judgments are good for me to keep. What does it do? These judgments start to refine your life. And these judgments are not, I won't do this, or I'm not going to do that, about the negative things I'm not going to do. Your judgments is this over yourself, that I am a child of God, therefore I don't. I am loved, therefore I don't. Because this is what he says in verse 12. He says, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults. Right? So this is what David's saying. Who can discern his own errors? Remember when I told you that in my life, I thought I was good, and we will do this as Christians. We'll be like, I'm good. Denise, sometimes, will we do this sometimes? I'm a child. I don't got to work on that. I'm a child of God. But it just takes the perfect situation in your life to realize, I didn't even know that was in there. Has anybody ever been there before? That anger that you thought was put to sleep a long time ago, that really was just apathetic? But it was surfacing underneath in the right situation, made you erupt. And you was like, I thought I was a child of God that was so peaceful. But really what I've been doing is I've just been ignoring stuff. It's like, nope, I ain't mad. I'm not upset. Then all of a sudden, they rang your candy bar, bro. I can't believe you done rang my Reese's Pieces up. 75% discount. It'd be the littlest things. Or it'd be the hardest things. When God has graced you to live a life of comfort, and the moment that you go through some adversity, some things start to come up out of you that you didn't know was there. Some people said some things with you. You had peace when you knew no one was talking about you. But the moment you figured out that somebody was talking about you, it is World War III. You fighting with them in the shower. And I hope they say this, because I got this for them. You cutting the grass thinking about what you're about to say to this person if they say the wrong thing. You over here just doing little routine things because you knew that they said something wrong about you. And see, y'all laughing because I know it's true. It just takes the right situation for you to realize who can assess his own errors. You need to get into the space where he says, hey, let me assess this for you before the right situation assesses you. Unmasked means that I'm going to let him put me through this test now so I don't have to allow life to put me through this test and then I fail it. He know you ain't right. That's why he sent Jesus and his blood to cover you. And he's forming you and sanctifying you and justifying you. It's a process. And the only way to fail that test is to not walk into the assessment. It's to not show up to the test. Each morning he's asking you to show up and allow his beautiful presence to assess you. And it's not this thing where he's going to make you run away. Damn, he ain't going to be like, I'm ready to tear you up. As soon as you come into this presence right over here and you get with me, I'm about to tear you up. I know exactly what you've been doing. I know what you've been listening to on the radio. I knew you cussed that person out when you drove past them on the highway. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to be like, there's a presence. There's a thing about God that he's done in my life. There's a presence about him where all it says is, come on in and welcome. I missed you. Have you guys ever had that person where you've known that there's been a conversation that you've been needing to have and that you may have hurt that person's feelings? But then when you actually go up to that person and they don't talk about the incident that they had, the first thing they say to you is, I miss you. You know that you've done wrong, and you know that there was something in your life that you made this situation and this relationship hard. But the moment you come into that person's presence, it's not ridicule, it's not judgment. But the first thing that they say is, I've missed you. That's what his presence is like. Just like that. That was perfect timing. Tell Nick and text you again. All right. I got some more verses for us. But I think this is enough for us to chew on today. So this is what I want us to do. I got some practicals. Who all has paper, access to paper? Who all has access to a pen? All right. You don't need it right now as they're taking communion. I'm just making sure in life you have access to paper and a pen. See, you didn't even know. You had the resources. You didn't even know it. Timing, right? You got to give God time. You say, I don't got no paper and pen right now. But you do at home. See, you didn't even know. You put stipulations on it that I didn't even give you. Don't we do that to God? You thought he meant right now, but actually what he meant in time. This is what I want us to do. This is something that I've been doing in my own unmasking process. This is my practical way. You may find a different way. But I forget stuff. And I move real fast in this mind. I'll be gone. I just sent so many of y'all texts that I have never sent before. Because my mind be gone. I'm like, I typed it out and then I don't even press send. Janet could tell you it happened every week. Mind be gone. I'm way more proactive than you think. It just never gets out of me. Living an assessed life and allowing God to test you, as the psalmist was talking about here in 119, may be as little as something to do as you sitting down with a piece of paper and a pen and just looking to God and knowing that he's there and say, God, I'm going to allow you to assess some things in me right now. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm going to hold these things before you. And at the beginning, it's going to be like your mind is going to be all over the place, but you're going to get to be able to write one thing down. I'm afraid to give you my pride. I'm afraid to admit that this person hurt me, and I don't know if I can be healed. And so it keeps coming out in different places. And I get really mad at myself every time that I realize that I'm still not over this. And as you start writing these things down, and it's on a piece of paper, I want you to look at that thing and to say, God, I give all this to you. I was going to read Psalm 51. That piece of paper is going to be a lot like Psalm 51 was for David. This is after David had slept with another man's wife, got her pregnant, tried to cover it up, got her husband killed. He gets called out by one of his trusted friends. Sounds like a TV show, right? And then the Psalm 51 is the prayer that he prays. And he says, Lord, I love your judgments on my life. Because I've realized that me, even David, who would sing songs to the Lord, that could sing songs so beautiful that it can make evil spirits go away, that even in my own ways, and even in all the giftedness that you've given me, there are errors inside of me that I weren't able to assess. He says, so what I'm learning to do is allow you to assess me and allow you to break the things that need to be broken. He says, I will rejoice when you break my bones, because just as a bone that isn't set right, it has to be rebroken and then put back into alignment for it to heal the proper way. This is what the psalmist David was saying. He says, here it is, God. Here are the things on my paper. Here are the things in my heart that I've been afraid to give you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then later on in Psalms 51, he says, search my heart, O Lord, and see if you find any wicked way within me, and renew in me a rightful spirit. Because it is not just simple offerings of saying, well, I know I'm a Christian and I'm giving you my tithe and I'm going to be generous and I'm going to go serve. He says, offerings is not what you desire, but a broken and a contrite heart. My heart is what you are requiring of me. And then I can go and give you an offering from a healed place, from a heart that is whole, because I learned to give it to him. That's what Psalm 51 is. And that's what that paper could be for you. Say, God, that I've been walking around with this brokenness and with this error, and I didn't even know it. And I'm writing it down on a piece of paper. Will you reveal to me the things that I've been trying to hide from you? The anger that I've been trying to hide from you? The hurt and the loneliness that I've been trying to hide from you? The sadness that I've been trying to hide from you? And will you renew with me a right spirit? We're all in this together, church. I I know you've been striving to make a name for your family and for yourself and who God has called you to be. But in this moment, can you just be with your family? Centering my life around him. Centering our life in this church around him, communing together. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this Sunday. As we go, know and speak these words over you. As you go and you write these things down on your piece of paper, remember that he calls you beloved. We got some major announcements. Look at your bulletin because I'm not calling Janet up here because I've already exceeded my time. There's important things. Everybody, do your assessments, write down your piece of paper, and read the bulletin. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus, I accept to run it all.